This Women's Month, CCFM invites you to the Harvest Table. Just like a table that expands to make room for more guests, we have prepared a table to share your stories of joy, victory, and hope. The Harvest Table serves as a gathering place where friends, family, and community members come together to share and celebrate the abundance of the harvest. The table is set, and there is a place just for you. Greetings, beautiful people. Are you happy to be here today? Yes. It's a bit too quiet. Are you happy to be here today? Yes. I wonder if Nathan can quickly come. Nathan, very quickly. And I'm going to ask you to stand quickly to your feet. We're going to just dedicate today into the hands of God. And we're going to welcome God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in our midst. On any other day, this is CHS Life Center. But today I want to declare that this is the house of the Lord. Yes. Today we are in His house. Yes. We are in His presence. And in His presence there is fullness of joy. And so I want you to just feel free because you are in your daddy's house. Yes. I know it might not be your usual church, but I declare this day that CHS is the house of God. Say, I'm in my daddy's home. Say, I am home. Turn to your neighbor and say, you and I are both home. Yes, we are home. We are home. We are home. We are home. So I'm going to ask you just to quickly close your eyes as we're going to welcome Dr. Mary Ann Prinsloo to come and open for us in a word of prayer. Has God been faithful to some people? Listen, you're at this harvest table of Andakanus Kerko. Amen. Something happens when women get together. Something happens when women get together. And I'm here to say that something has to break. I don't know what it is that you've been battling with and have been walking along with and been journeying with. And you know, weet jy wat sien ek nou onkruid? En onkruid kan 'n mens mos vashou. Wat is onkruid in Afrika in Engels? Weeds. Weeds has the potential to grip you and to hold you and to hold you back. But how many of you know that you're at the right place for this season? And I want to publicly say today that some weeds are going to fall off. Some weeds are going to break. And today I want to give God glory, all honor and all praise as Apostle Mary, and come and just dedicate this into the hands of God. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Mighty God.
Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Lord, that we can come into your presence this morning, your daughters, Lord, that we can come into the throne room, that we can enter the throne room this morning boldly and come and sit at your feet, Lord. Thank you that we can come to your table to sit at the table with the King and harvest together, Lord. Father, we want to command this into your hand, this event, Lord. We want to give it over to you that it's not just an event, but that, Lord, the Holy Spirit will move and will touch. Father, that where there's any brokenness, any pieces that needs healing, Lord, that today that the Holy Spirit will touch deeply, physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, Lord. We pray that whatever word is spoken here, whatever song is sang, Lord, that you will move through it. That whoever needs to connect with whatever they need to connect with today, that it will happen, Lord. Because we know that you have an appointed, anointed appointment with each one this morning. Each daughter of you, thank you, Lord, that you love us so much, that you love each and every one. Today it's about testifying. Today it's about witness, bringing witness to glorify your name, to lift up your name, Lord, to come together where we come together corporately. We know that the mighty power of God can move, and we just want to welcome. We just want to welcome and embrace the Holy Spirit this morning. Father, and we want to give you all the glory. We want to lift up your name, the King of Kings, the King of Kings. Thank you, Lord, that we can come together to build each other up, to build up our faith. So when we walk out here today, Lord, that we will know that nothing is impossible, that our dreams can become a reality if we dare to believe you. And that is what we want to do when we walk out here today, Lord, is that we want to dare to believe you. We want to hold on. This morning, Father, I also pray that in the spirit that the daughters will come and just touch the hem, Lord, because we know that the power is in the hem, even if it's just the hem, Lord, that they will touch the hem of your robe this morning, because we know that the power is in there for healing, Lord, for healing this morning. I just see, Lord, that gold dust is coming down on your daughters this morning. The gold dust is raining down on them this morning, Lord. Touch them, Lord. Touch them with a soft wind. Touch them, Lord, so that they can experience you this morning. We want to move all of us out of the way, Lord. And we just want to give the seat to the King of Kings at the table, Lord. The Holy Spirit, the Son, that is who we want to come to this morning. Not to us. We are only vessels, conduits, and we open ourselves up for the Holy Spirit to flow through us. Thank you that you love us. Thank you for salvation, Lord. Thank you for your grace, your mercy, your goodness. Thank you, Father God. We love you, we honor you, we praise you. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen and amen.
Now I want to call upon Inga. She's going to be our first guest on the couch. Directly thereafter, we're doing something. But Inga is our first guest. Who knows Inga? Inga just finished off on the drive show about 3 weeks ago. We're going to sit here. Shall we do that? How are you?
Good, thanks. Good, thanks. And you?
Good. You look amazing.
Thank you.
Mother
you too.
Of two. I cannot believe this. Inga, just in a nutshell, if you can tell our beautiful ladies here, just a little bit about yourself. Who is the woman behind the name Inga?
Good afternoon, all you beautiful ladies. It's such a privilege and an honor to be here with you guys on this very first, you know, Harvest Table in person. So my name is Inga. I'm a daughter. I have a sister. And I'm a wife. I'm a mom. And in a nutshell, Inga is energetic, always looking for the fun in things. But also the person who enjoys, I love life, I love something you might not know about me, I love dancing, even though I'm sometimes next to the beat, I enjoy it. And for me, it's all about making memories with family, with friends, with, you know, like-minded people. I absolutely enjoy getting together, and I think that's the main core of Inga, is getting together with like-minded people, because whenever you leave a gathering like that, you shouldn't feel, you never feel tired. You feel like it was a fruitful gathering, yes, like we're going to have today. And that's why I was so excited for today, because it's something that I also absolutely enjoy, hearing from different people from different walks of life.
Yes.
And that's Inga, every day, learning every day.
The one thing that you said, you love life. And for me, that is important. Mm. Because for too long, people go through life, and because life happens, they go through life burdened, and they wake up in the morning feeling down and miserable and depressed, and they go through the day and they go to bed feeling the same, and they wake up next morning, and it's just a cycle. But when you said, I love life, and I think it's important that all of us strive to get to that place where we say, I love life. I know that we have issues, I know we face difficulties, but you still love life. You still love life. When you hear the words, a mother's prayer, what does that mean for you, Inga?
So the first time I heard those words, what I immediately thought of was sowing and reaping.
Okay.
Because to me, a mother's prayer is a seed. And as a mom, you might not see it now, but you might see it in the future. Sure. It might not be for you, but something that your kids will reap. So a mother's prayer to me is a seed.
Wow. Talk to us about the seeds that your mom planted in your life.
So some of the seeds that my mom has planted, just a little background, some of you might or may not know. 2018 was quite a big year for me because I was graduating, my sister was matric, and then the 31st of December 2017, literally New Year's Eve, then my mother passed away. And, you know, looking at the year that was about to come and all the big things, you know, my sister was thinking of, she was getting a license that year, it was a matric ball that year, I was graduating, starting my first job. So it was quite a few things that was going to happen in, or that happened in 2018. So some of the seeds that my mother has sown, and I must say, it really helped me through that time. Because one of the things that I remember that I will never forget is my mom always used to say, you know that very famous scripture that we all know, seek ye first the kingdom mm-hmm. of God and mm-hmm. his righteousness. We always forget and his righteousness. Yes. And then everything else shall be added. So to me, when I think of that, and that's just one of the seeds that she's sown. And when I take it to that scripture, it is always not focusing on the troubles or you trying to sort out the troubles around you or the things. And I think this ties in with why I love life. It is because every day I'm constantly seeking God, seeking Jesus, seeking his kingdom and his righteousness, because then all the things in your life fall together. You might think it's falling apart, but it's falling together. It's coming together. Because in that moment, I thought, how am I going to do life without my mom? How am I going to enjoy life without my mom? It was a lot of questions that I had. But some of the seeds that she's sown is also that nothing happens to you without Jesus' approval, without God's approval.
Yes.
And
that's powerful.
Yes. That is something that she, or a revelation that she had when she was diagnosed. So she had cancer. And she took me back to the story of Job. And she told me, you see, everything that happens to you is actually happening for you. You don't know why in that moment, but it has God's stamp of approval. It's supposed to happen for your next season.
Yes.
So that was something that I focus on when things look rocky or when things go a little bad. Because like you said, we all have our trials and our tribulations in life. But it's how you come out of it, how you go through it. Don't try and go around it. Go through it. That is something that really helped me.
That is another powerful thing, because oftentimes we pray it away. How many of you have done that? We pray it. We even beg God, please just take this bitter cup from me. But there is so much learning and growth in what we go through. So the processes that we go through teaches us things. And so you just alluded to that. And I think that's powerful. Don't wish it away. Don't pray it away. Go through it.
When I said go through it and not around it, myself, my father, and my sister, we, or as I can say, my father, and as a parent, create that space where when we had moments where we were missing my mom, or when things were tough, or maybe the week was just extra tough because something happened and it made you, like for me, when I got married, it was a tough time because she wasn't there. Then with my firstborn, it was a tough time because she wasn't there. So when these moments happen, myself, my sister, and my father, we had open communication. And it's not always easy to create that space, because sometimes, because you don't know what your kids are thinking, you don't know what your spouse is thinking, but I think creating open lines of communication is so, so important.
Yes.
Important so that they don't try and skip their problems or go around their problems, that you help them go through it. And I think that is the most important seed to leave today.
Wonderful. Can we thank Inga? That was powerful. Thank you so much. And may God richly bless you in all that you do. Well done. Wow. So we can see that there is so much power in a praying mother. And that is what the theme of today is, the power of a praying mother. And before we welcome our dancers, I would love to invite our next speaker, who's going to come now. They did everything right. They dedicated their children to God. They raised their children in the house of God. Both mom and dad groomed them in the house of God. But then something happened that shook that very firm foundation that this family laid for their children. Am I talking to somebody? Some of you all have been in a house with a good foundation, just like Inga spoke. But I want to show you that there is an enemy that is very real. And we're going to welcome Mama Martha Chippendale to the couch, as she's going to come and share her journey. Sister Chippendale is the mother of my best friend. We studied education, teaching together. And so I frequented her house. And when Rowan spoke to me about this, and when he gave me the theme, I knew immediately who my guests were going to be. And the people that are here have been strategically selected by the Holy Spirit to be here. Now, Inga shared earlier on about the firm foundation. I also grew up in a house where our parents laid a very firm foundation. Likewise, you, when I met you, both you and your husband were saved. You raised your 5 children in the house of the Lord. Just talk to us very briefly about that early foundation years. You've got 5 children. I know your husband passed away a few years ago, but if you can just maybe give us that introduction.
Okay, so I am a mother of 5. I'm going to talk Afrikaans and English, okay?
That's
a mixed vegetables, okay? So I've got 5 children, 4 girls and 1 boy, okay? At the earliest stage, I took them to church, like any parent will do. No? When they opened their eyes, so me and my husband was saved. Took them to church and everything. I remember one Sunday morning, there was an altar call, and I took all of them to the front, and the children still said, but why must we go? I said, no, but there was a reason that morning why all must go up. So in the house, we had church in the house. We prayed with them, and I could see my eldest daughter got saved when she was 8 years old. She got saved, and so did the others also come. But I can say it wasn't easy, but it was worth it. It was really worth it. And I want to come in there to say, never give up on your child. Never, and never ever reject your child. That is very important. And also what comes now to mind, when last did we as parents say to the child, I love you? We will tell them when they're small, you know, kiss and love. But when last did we as parents hug our children and say, Mommy, love you? So all that was also in that growing up as a Christian.
Yes, 5 children. And growing up in Mitchell's Plain.
Beacon Valley, Mitchell's Plain.
Yeah. But something happened that threw you and your family off guard. It caught you off guard.
Yes.
Talk to us about the time with your son and how that impacted your family.
When my son was about, I think he was 16 or 17, he started to turn to drugs. And that was for us as a family that served God. It was very hard. He started on drugs. And you know, if a child is on drugs in the house, it's very hard. And also, that you don't want to go work, you don't want to go to school, nothing. But I kept on praying, God, you must save my son's life. And you know, there's actually three things I want to just point to. In this drugs from him, he's growing up, he's in drugs, and he don't want to work, he don't want to go to church. Everything just fell flat in the house. And also, to have a son in the house with drugs, you can self-imagine how it is. Anyway, but I kept on praying. People said, man, gooi hom uit, smijt hom uit, en jaaf hom weg. But in my heart, I knew I can't never, ever chase my child away. And anyway, this night I was busy praying. That was past 11, one night I was urgently praying for Theodore. And I thought, man, there is really, I could feel in my spirit there is something happening. But anyway, I went to stand outside late night. Where is he? Anyway, the next morning he came home. He said, Mommy, it's weer gebid nou.
Hulle weet, nee? Hulle weet wanneer dit gebeur.
Ek sê toe vir hom, ja. Hy sê vir my, Mommy, gisteraan was ek amper dood. Hy sê, one of the gangsters stood in front of him with a gun. Face to face, so. To shoot him dead and they tell him, Fernand is Jay dood, you know? This gangster boy just pointed to him and just want to shoot. So the gun jammed.
Wow. Wow. Praise God.
Now that was a prayer, mother. They don't see you pray. They don't hear you pray. You do something, you steal people's stuff, and then you must go to court. But you know, God was so faithful, he never ever went to jail. I always prayed, God, I don't want to see my child in jail. So I was on an outreach, and this morning I must go to the road to go testify on the road. And I tell my group people, today is now 9 o'clock. My child is coming now, appearing in court. So we prayed there. And I phoned my daughter to say she must now just hear and please just phone me. And I went to the road, and that morning there came so many souls to God, you know.
Wow, praise God.
And I came back, and they told me, Mrs. Chippendale, Bendel het jou phone, Theodore het vrygekom.
Wow.
That is a prayer, mother. Yes. So this morning I want to tell you, never ever
give up.
Forget to pray for your child.
Jesus.
Don't reject your child. People will say many things about your child, but don't reject your child. Don't, I beg you this morning, never ever reject your child. But there came a day that he accepted God.
Thank you, Jesus.
You know, he's in the worship team.
Sure.
Hy sing en sy hele familie word gered.
Praise God.
His whole family.
Thank you, Jesus.
You know what, ne?
Sure.
It took time. It took time. But I'm telling you as parents, whether you're a young parent or an old parent, pray, move the heart of God. En a maase gebed, het werk. Hy sê vir sy vriende, jy, as my ma gebid het, jong. You know? He knew, but God was faithful. He's serving the God, he and his whole family in the house.
That is what God can do. Can we give God a hand of praise in this place? I feel one day we need to have an event like this where we have the children. I just want them to hear what they put the parents through. I mean, for him to put his mother through that, but she knew where her strength was.
Looky, I want to tell you quickly that my husband was a council sweeper. Hy het strate gevee in die Kaap. Ek was a factory worker. Maar ek het gesê vir my kinders dat julle moet gaan leer. Is nie vir ons 'n future nie, it's for your own future. En ek dink eendag ek het eers geld gehad vir hulle registrasiegeld nie. En dan kom 'n klop aan die deur eendag. Hier's jou kind se registrasie geld. Moet elke een die Here gevoorsien en die Here doen so 'n mooi ding dat almal van hulle het bursaries gekry. All of them. So God is able. God is able.
Amen.
Omi, I just want to do something. Now, everybody knows it clearly, ne? This wasn't in my then. It just came to my mind now.
Yes.
That a key has got two meanings. To lock and to unlock.
Uh-huh.
Okay? Now, there is seasons in our life. And this morning, if there's a season in your life, right? And a season has also got expiring date. Okay. Winter moet gaan lê.
Yes. 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 Yes.
Somme moet nou kom.
Yes.
Okay. So you may be in your winter season now. And this morning I want to tell you, take your key and lock the past.
Come on, come on, yes.
And take the key, then you unlock your future.
Wow, I think we can stand 12 feet and let us give her a hand. Wow.
Hear her roar. She may have silently screamed when pain became her second name. She may have swallowed rivers of tears, pretending not to drown. She may even have contemplated death when she felt there was no reason to keep on keeping on. But now, hear her roar as she shouts this to the world. While pain became my second name, it was my gateway to victory all the same. And the rivers of tears in which I thought I'd nearly drowned, well, that's now become my riverbed on which my mermaid treasures can now be found. And as for death, death died its bloody death when my divine purpose became my only breath. And now my roar is the tender, compassionate, inspiring whispers I feed my brothers and sisters so that their own suffering will not starve them. And now my roar is my voice through which I channel those who have been devoiced by systems and perplexities beyond their own control. And now my roar is the half moon that shines across my face as I smile at the beauty of living a purposeful, triumphant life. And now my roar is the license I choose to give myself, to unconditionally love myself, because self-love now amplifies my presence in this world. And now my roar is my laughter that tumbles from deep within my soul, bouncing between light and love and the realization that I was never broken, but always whole. And now my roar is my self-made oasis, birthed in a desert in which I did not ask to be birthed in, get lost in, or get raped in twice. And now my roar is my unapologetic, uncompromised authenticity. And now my roar is the true celebration of my precious soul's sacredity.
We thank you, Father, for this very special moment, Lord. We thank you that you sent your Son to die for people. People are at the heart of your message. And we think of these four young ladies standing here today, representing your children. I thank you, Lord, that no one was born without purpose. But you say in your word that before we were even in our mother's womb, you knew us, Lord. You predestined our lives and you fit inside of us everything that we would need to live your purpose. And so we call out today to every young person. We call out today to every woman, every man, every child. We call out to that purpose that you have planted and deposited within them. And we call it forward now in the name of Jesus. We say that whatever has been holding it, whatever has been dampening it, whatever has been silencing the voice, we release that now in the name of Jesus. We speak your word in their lives, Lord. We speak your peace in their lives, Lord. We pray that your purpose will fill the earth, Lord. You say that all creation is waiting for the sons and daughters of God to be revealed in the earth. And we call it forward now in the name of Jesus. I pray for every person that looks like these people today. I pray for every person who feels like these people today. I pray, Lord, for those who are dealing with struggles in their life, not understanding things. Will you come in the precious name of Jesus and set your people free? Father, you have created a table, and your invitation to us is, come and sit at the table with me. And so we call them today, Lord. We call every prodigal child. We think of the Theodores today. We call them today, Father. We think of the mothers who are crying out to you, Jesus. We call those children back in the name of Jesus. Father, we speak your peace today. We think of every home today, Lord, who is struggling with battles and with challenges. We pray that your peace will flood that home today in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, what we can't do, will you do, please, Lord? What we can't achieve, will you achieve it, please, Lord? Father, we speak your life today. We speak your life, and we thank you that more than 2,000 years ago, you said these words. You said, it is finished. And so we stand in that today, Jesus. That it is finished, Lord. It is finished. And we thank you, Jesus, for your blessing. In the mighty name of Jesus.
I'm going to invite to the couch. Oh, he's a brother now. He says, hi, my sister. He's a brother. He's an author. Please come, Namon, A.B. Andrea. And he's going to sit on the couch with me.
Thank
so
you.
Just very briefly, if you can, tell us who's the man behind the name.
Namon.
Yes, Namon.
Good morning, everybody. I'm so honored to be here today. I want to thank God, and I want to thank Naomi and the whole team for granting me this tremendous privilege to be here with you this morning. Thank you so much, everyone. So my name is Namon Ebi Andrea. I am a motivational speaker, life coach, and also an author of a book titled The Detour. So my book here tells about my life experiences, the setbacks, hardships, and challenges that I've encountered in this life. So I strongly believe that we all often face character-building experiences and circumstances, which I call them the detours. And my book here is one of the books that helps the reader's mind to consider the possibility of receiving their own detours as an instrument or a tool for navigation and critical progression. So through my own experience, I've come to realize that every detour that I encounter in this life continues to open me up to a place of attentiveness where I accept all my setbacks, hardships, and challenges, not only as something that is inevitable, but also as an instrument that introduces me to me on many levels. And that focus has helped me to direct my energy and also devote my efforts into the things that I can change and not on the things that I can't. And I feel like this is the reason why God inspired me to share my life story, so that people can look at my book message as a guiding star while they continue their own journey in this life. Every detour that God positions or places in our life is there for a reason. I want to agree with our first sister that spoke here. She said there's nothing that happens in our life without God's approval. So every detour, every setback, hardships, and challenge that you encounter in life has a hidden purpose. And our problem, most of us, is that we are deceived by the surface appearance of things, and we overlook the deeper purpose and meanings behind our setbacks in life. When I was at the age of 15 and 16, I began doing some pieceworks. I worked on other people's farms. I sold fatty cooks on the street. I worked on the construction sites just to help support my family. But on this journey now of trying to find meaning in life, on this journey of trying to overcome these detours, on this path of trying to understand what it takes to shape my future in the midst of these hard times, I discovered that there are three things that define the essence of the human being. Number one is our ability to love. To love is to eliminate fear around you. Number two is your giving. Giving is the proof of your humanity. Number three is serving. To serve, even in your church, in your community, to serve is to solve demonstrable problems and to advance vision in the hearts of men. Anything contrary to this makes us inhumans. And if you are able to love, to give, and to serve, men and women will open up doors for you. You need to understand that this is what makes us humans. And so when I discovered that thing, those things, I began to put them into practice. The starting point of shaping your future in the midst of your difficulties, hardships, and challenges is by developing a vision of what you could be. Even the Bible says in the book of Hebrews chapter 10, verse 7, and Psalms chapter 40, verse 7, it says, "Lo, in the book it is written of me." So God has ordained a purpose for each and every one of us. You have a vision. There's a reason why you are here on this earth. So you must develop a vision of what you could be. Because if you do not know where you are going, everywhere you get just looks like it. And if everything that you see is all that your eyes can see, then there's something wrong with you. We must be worried about you. So begin to develop a vision of what you could be. And I want to communicate this to you. Sadly, this is how many people's lives are. They are stuck in places and in situations where they are not supposed to be, simply because they lack vision. So vision shapes your future. Vision takes you into the future. Vision gives you a picture of your future. And once you have visited the future, you become less content with the world around you. And it's that discontent that it drives you to improve. It's that discontent that it drives you to make things better. So it's very important that you develop a vision of what you could be. It's very important. That's what got me here today. So every setback, every challenge that you are facing in life, understand that that challenge is there for a reason. Once you know what you want to do with your life, you have developed this vision of what you could be, get started. Don't wait until you are motivated. If you feel that you are ready, then you are late. Don't wait for motivation, because motivation, even in the equation of success, is the last part. You need to start taking action, because your action creates momentum. Momentum creates progress, and it's progress that creates motivation. So if you wait until you are motivated, then you have already lost, and you won't live a fulfilled life. You won't even be happy. So you need to start taking action. Your action will give you the energy that you need to keep going on, the momentum. Momentum will give you progress. And the principal factor of happiness in life is progress. Most people are seeking to be happy, waiting to get motivated so that they can start moving. Don't wait to get motivated. Even the word motivation itself is a compound word. It's made up of the word motive and action. And so if you are waiting to be motivated, the action, if you are waiting until you are motivated, the motive itself will frustrate you. So start taking action.
Second last guest is a beautiful woman that I met face to face for the first time today. But I've been in WhatsApp and telephone conversation with her for a couple of months. I want you to put your hands together for Delisha.
Hi, everybody. My name is Delisha.
So Delisha, your and my journey started a few months ago.
It happened on the 18th of November 2022. It's actually a very heartbreaking story. but it's also just a miracle of what happened. I haven't spoken to Naomi in a while because I was quite busy at work and And then suddenly I got this message and I'm like, yes, now I can go share my story with people. So yes, here I am. So what happened was, I think you were working at the school that day when everything happened. So the American School of Cape Town in Constantia, I don't know if anybody knows where that is. We were called out on we've got a tire business, a tire company, and we got a call stating that the truck Kauai Fresh, they need assistance with a tire that went flat and tires that needed to be...
This is a huge, humongous food truck.
8-ton truck. It was fully loaded, so they were trying to load it off, but they couldn't move it, so we were called out to come and assist. My husband and my son went out, and my husband then took some of the tires off, and they were almost done. They were busy putting the tires back in, but there was one tire they didn't put back yet because the truck was too low. So my son went in underneath the truck, and he took the jack, he put the jack underneath, and as he pressed on the jack, like pressed it down, the tar underneath the jack broke, and the whole truck came down on my son. At the moment, nobody knew that he was under the truck. I don't know, I'm not sure how anybody actually, but his legs were sticking out. And then I got a call stating that the accident happened. At first, I didn't believe it. I don't think any mother would believe it if they hear a principal of a school phoned me and said, look, there was an accident, your son got hurt. I don't know what happened afterwards. I just know I was standing, a friend of mine heard me screaming, and I was down the ground. I literally just fell over. And then I phoned again, later on, and they said, no, the ambulance people is there, they're taking care of him or whatever, and they were on their way to hospital. So, yeah, that is what happened, and at one stage, I heard that his heart was no longer beating. They're trying to resuscitate him. The phone was called by his ear, and I could hear them, like, resuscitating him and things, and it was horrible. But that is how flat the truck was. He was underneath that. That tire was under the truck to pick the truck up to get him out underneath. So once they had him out, that tire came out again, and the truck was still that low. So this is the tar, and then that is the truck. He still got the cut over his arm from the side of the truck that cut him. And then also there's another photo. It's also the truck. You can literally see where the jack sink into the tar. And then if you look this side, it's not a very nice photo. That's a piece of his lung that came out his mouth. His whole chest was crushed. A piece of his lung came out his mouth. He had water on his heart. His liver was ripped in 2 pieces, and he had laceration 5 cuts in his kidneys. And then you saw the photos of the ambulance people. Metro actually told my husband to lay my son down because he was dead. And then also with ER24 came and said, there is no way we're going to try. And they actually started getting the life doctor and stuff out.
We have security, 24-hour security on site. So I saw the commotion and I rushed to the scene. And I still see him under the truck. And we have radios, and the security called all the support staff, the men. We have about 8 guys, some groundsmen, bus drivers. All of them came and literally lifted the truck. It was, what did you say, 8-ton?
8-ton.
They lifted the truck, put that tire underneath just to get him out.
And it was
the truck was on his chest. When I got there, that 2 pieces, it came out of his mouth. That is how the impact of the truck came out. So
his lungs burst. They rushed him to Groteskia Hospital, which was obviously the closest. I took an Uber from Paro to Groteskia. I got there at 12. When I got there, I weren't allowed to see him at all. They didn't allow us into the hospital. There was nobody that could tell us anything that's happening inside, nothing. And then we were there till about 11 o'clock when a Catholic priest came outside and told my son he wants to see me. So as he came out, I'm like, what news am I going to get now? Because why is a Catholic priest coming to speak to me? So yes. And then he came out and he said to me, you know what? Your son is actually on life support. And we were saying that our Father who art in heaven with him. And his lips was moving, trying to say it with us. So, but I still weren't allowed. It was like 11 o'clock at night. They refused us to go in. The Saturday morning, I was there lank early at hospital. Also, no luck the whole day long till past 11 the night. When his girlfriend showed up at that time, I told him, look, this is now his wife. They're not married, this is his girlfriend. I said, look, this is his wife. She was busy writing exams. Can you please just let her in to see him because so that she can feel better, not knowing he's still on life support, not knowing that it's going to actually not be so good. So she went in, and 2 minutes after she went into ICU, security literally took her by arms and they threw her out the hospital. I got hold of my husband's aunt in Witten and I said to her, look, I want to start a prayer group for my son. At all family members, all friends, people we don't know, people we know, people, I don't care. If you go into a shop and you know somebody in a shop, you add them on there. I've added people at the hospital. I've never met them my whole life before. I put them on the group. Everybody had my number. And we started praying. We were praying and we were praying and we were praying. Like Naomi phoned and we prayed. Kerry, the principal at the school, I think her name is Kerry, right?
She's just one of the teachers.
Oh, she's one of the teachers, sorry. But I think the principal also at one stage phoned me. And we were all just praying. Then I literally heard that the people at the truck business, at the truck company, they were putting up candles and they were praying every single day. Naomi used to forward messages to me from these people at the truck company saying that they are still praying for him. Even now, they're still praying for him. So everybody's just praying. And after the third day in ICU, we got news that life support was taken off and that he was breathing fine by himself. So, yes, everything just came. He was 100%. Then we were allowed to see him. When we finally got to him, that we could see him, I went in, I looked at him, I turned around, and I walked out. It was just that big shock of literally seeing my child alive in front of me that it just shook my whole world. So I left. And then the Thursday, we decided, we just kept on praying and that he was going to get stronger and all that. And then when we got to hospital, we were like standing around there and the doctor came and he said, guess what? After the sixth day, we think your son is strong enough. He can go home now. And I'm like, oh, my God. And
I want to do something now. You see what happened there. If you saw him on the day, I was there. When the ambulance came and fetched him, he was in so much pain that his body went into shock. They had to sedate him. And the picture that I saw, I will never forget it. It's stuck here. I stood there with our head of school, and I was looking into the ambulance, and they worked with him there for about half an hour before they physically left. But there is a God. Dylan, come. Come, Dylan. Come. This is what the Lord can do. Look, look what the Lord has done.
Queen. Queen, you are not the clothes you wear or the texture of your hair. You are not the lies they speak to make you weak. Queen, you are not the property you own, rent, or have been denied. Oh, no, my queen, you are worth so, so much more than symbols of material pride. Queen, you are not a qualification, a level of education against which they draw your validation. You are a collection of transferable, archetypal feminine wisdom. Queen, you are the grandest expression of divine creation, a tangible aspect of heaven placed on this earth to fulfill a mission as unique as you are. Heaven's extension blessed with perfect imperfection. O Queen, the beauty of your being is without comparison. You see, Queen, your choices are your riches, the lasting effects which can build or break your world, and it's the vastness of your mentality that will create the experiences inside of your royal territory. And you, my Queen, you were born to invest in the treasures that ease within you. You were born to celebrate a victory that can no longer be denied. You see, my Queen, what was once your blood that oozed from your wounds on your battlefields has now become an endless string of shimmering rubies embedded in your crown. A crown once denied can now be worn with the utmost pride. And so, my Queen, that crown, that consciousness, wear it like only a queen can. That inherent priceless worth, wear it like only a queen can. Because you, my Queen, you were not just born to dream. You were not just born to win. You, my Queen, were born to reign.